This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking lawns and gardens. And with us in studio, we do have master gardeners, Beth and Carol, with us today. And we'll be talking about, I guess, everything from lawns and gardens to a show coming up, right?
Yes, a flower show.
When is the big flower show, and what is it?
We're talking about the one that goes on at the Tennessee State Fair, and that starts next week. A week from today will be the opening of our fair. It's out at the Wilson County Fairgrounds, and we, as Rutherford County Master Gardeners, head up the state flower show. So we're most excited about that. There's lots of things to see out there, of course, and food and rides, but we'll focus on just the flower show. And if you're interested in submitting anything or being a part of that, we welcome everyone to be a part of that.
And that's a big show. That's been going on for years and years.
Yes, they moved it out to the Wilson County Fairgrounds a few years ago, and it has just grown. They had over 850,000 people there last year over the entire time of the fair. So it is just, it's big. It's they were voted the fourth best state fair in the country. I mean, we are so proud of that fair, and it's just a great group of people that have been doing it for so many years. Such dedication. We had the opportunity to be in the Hale Moss building for this flower show, and he was really the one that was instrumental in getting everything together out there. So just a great legacy to continue.
It's crazy how many people go there during the event. I mean, that's just wild. I didn't know the numbers were that high.
Huge. Yeah, we're hoping to get to 1 million this year. So.
Man.
Yeah.
Hey, and then also going on, of course, every Tuesday and Friday at the Lane Agri Park, you have the farmer's market, and that's a big thing.
Yes, and we are there answering your questions about gardening or seeds or whatever you'd like to know. So stop by and have a conversation with us. We're happy to talk to you.
And you guys do little workshops at places like that, of course, the Tuesday, Friday event, but also you meet at the library and do things there too.
We have a library series on Saturdays, and it's the first Saturday of the month, I believe. And so you can just check it out. It's 10 a.m. at the Lineball Library. And we have a class coming up in the fall called Garden Basics. It is 5 weeks in the evening for you guys that are working. And it's going to cover topics from soil to everything you need to know about veggies, lawn, flowers, composting, and so on. So if you have a general interest in gardening and you'd like to learn a little bit more, this has been a successful class for us.
So what led y'all to be master gardeners? What made you want to do this and take that first class?
Well, I know for myself, just always been interested in knowing more, and an opportunity came up. Actually, my father retired at the same time, so we decided to go through the class together, and it was an evening class, and it's just been a wonderful experience. We just jumped right in and went through the Master Gardener class without going through the Garden Basics. You can do either way, and those classes usually run September through May every year. Those applications will come available towards the end of the year. Is that right? Yes. January right. through May, right,
yes,
is when
January.
It starts. Yes, I'm thinking of the school year. January through May, and you can apply usually in October or November to get on the next year's list. And that's just a great way to just jump right in and know more about what things grow in this area. And you really don't have to be even, like, that knowledgeable to begin with. They're going to teach you everything you know. They're going to put you with a big, thick, three-ring binder full of sure. information, and all sorts of people come in and talk to you about different topics. So it's a great thing to do.
And the cool thing about it is you guys help a lot of other people.
Sure. Yeah. We're really an extension of the Extension Service as community volunteers.
What kinds of questions do you usually get this time of year? What are people thinking about or doing outside with their garden, or maybe trying to grow something specific to their landscaping? I don't know. What do people do this time of year?
Well, August is the time when everything sort of starts to go to
Seed.
Seed. So, but, you know, questions have varied from, you know, what's eating my plants, you know. So I know I look at my beans and they're full of holes, you know, and how to deal with those kinds of things. We talk about scouting. I went outside, I guess, about 3 weeks ago and saw these little weird things on some of my shrubs that were bagworms.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, you can take those off, Carol.
Yeah.
Pick them off.
I didn't have any trouble taking those off and squishing them.
It's kind of fun, huh?
So, you know, so it could be a pest. It could be, you know, we also try to help with, you know, plants that are conducive to the heat and the drought in Tennessee.
So with bugs out there and also, of course, animals, what types of damage do these bugs do to your plants? And you know, the larger animals, I'm sure they just try to dig up and eat whatever you're growing. But what types of damage can be done?
Well, if you've ever seen your tomato plant be real leafy one day and bare the next, it's a tomato hornworm. And the only beneficial thing to the tomato hornworm is sometimes a parasitic wasp will infect it. And you'll see it would have little white nodules coming out of the top of it, which are wasps that are actually killing that caterpillar.
Wow.
But they will eat your tomatoes to nothing, to nubs.
Does this happen pretty quickly?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Overnight, almost. And same thing with squash bugs. You think,
right.
I'm going to have so many. And then beautiful flowers are out there, and next day, nothing. So it's just, again, almost a daily look at that garden. And maybe, you know, that's part of the learning process. What am I going to plant maybe next summer or next year if I'm going to do vegetables again? Maybe I don't plant them in that same place.
That's
maybe
right.
Of course, your tomatoes, you need to move around because mm-hmm. of the soil. But just kind of every year you get a little bit wiser.
And Japanese beetles.
Oh, yeah.
So those thankfully have gone at this point, but they did a number on my ornamental cherry tree.
Hey, and by the way, for those listening, if you have any questions, you can text us 615-893-1450. Again, 615-893-1450. For someone who has never gardened before, maybe they don't even do landscaping, how hard is it just to get into it and actually see something grow, as opposed to a lot of people say, you know, it's next to impossible for me to keep anything alive when I have a plant?
The best way to start, I think, Carol, if you agree, is a container. I mean, a container garden or some way to just start small. It's so gratifying to just plant a seed and you'll see something come up. You know, that's just the way to start. And you can control the soil that way. You can control the watering, where you move it according to the sun. Of course, a lot of fruits and our vegetables and a lot of flowers need 6 to 8 hours of sun each day. So you're going to have to evaluate where that would be. And with a container, you can move it around if you needed to. So I think that's the best way to start.
Can you still grow stuff right now? I mean, could you plant something the 1st of August and actually have something?
Sure. You'll pull out all of those. If you don't have anything, start with a container of lettuce. And that can be sown right now, and you'll have fresh lettuce for, you know, the fall. Mm-hmm. And so we're really past growing vegetables unless they're going to be fall crops at this point.
At the state fair, going back to that for a second, they used to have contests there, you know, who could grow the biggest watermelon, the biggest pumpkin. Mm-hmm. They still do.
Oh, you'll be amazed. Come out and see. I mean, it's amazing what they help people bring. And yeah, there's a fruit and vegetable category. The Sumner County Master Gardeners actually head that up. And they're right next where we were last year. So just seeing people come in with their red wagons full of, you know, big watermelons and all that. It was just amazing to see. So it's, it's all still there, just like you remember.
Are you ever surprised to see these massive watermelons have grown?
I know, because I feel like
the pumpkins and the watermelons.
I don't even know when that would have started. I mean, I'm like, when did you have to start that? Or how did it, you know, not get eaten? I feel like sometimes everything I plant out there, I'm like, oh, here it comes. It's amazing.
I wonder if those great big watermelons, do they taste just as good as the smaller ones, or do they have a different taste to them?
Yeah, I don't know if they,
that's a good question.
What point they cut into them, because they sit out. You think about they're there for a while, so I don't know if you actually eat them or not, but maybe they do. They want to get in and save the seeds for sure and try again next year. So.
And then I would guess some of them are so big it takes, what, two or three people just to lift them?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So come see what they bring in.
It'd be kind of a fun challenge to see if you could grow one in the backyard. Yes. I don't know what it takes to do, but...
Right. A small watermelon's 20 pounds almost sometimes. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to... It's a certain variety of those different fruits and vegetables, so you just have to look for that variety.
So what do y'all enjoy most about gardening?
Mm, wow. That's a good question.
Well, so I like flowers because a blooming flower makes people happy. Mm-hmm. So if you can just walk out into your yard and look at a beautiful display of blooms, to me, that's one of the things that I really love about gardening.
It's just that end result of seeing, you know, the flowers bloom.
Yes, absolutely.
And just the sheer variety, like you said, it's just, there's just so many colors and shapes and sizes. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's just so relaxing to look at as well, and just relish.
And you
the beauty.
Can grow these across seasons, so you have early bloomers, and you've got late bloomers, and you've got the middle of the summer bloomers.
Is it a real expensive hobby to take up?
No.
I don't feel like it is. I mean, a lot of times we as master gardeners will do plant swaps and, you know, at the end of a meeting, like, hey, I brought a bunch of lilies in the back. Go pick some up if you want. So it's all, you know, you kind of get a network of people that will give you free things. So that's even better.
That is cool.
And a pack of seeds is $2.50 or, you know.
Yeah, you can't really beat that price. That's
right.
Pretty cheap.
So, yeah, absolutely.
And to grow in a lot of the categories, you'd be surprised too. I'm going back to the State Fair Flower Show. Are container grown. You can bring those in as part of the competition. And what I love seeing, one of the categories is a container, most unusual container, or a container of a child's toy. Mm. So it's like if you had someone's leftover dump truck, you know, from when your kids were small, you just put soil in that and maybe some some, you know, flowers you've grown or flowers you can buy. And that's an arrangement you can bring in and be a part of the State Fair competition with.
That is a unique competition right there.
Yeah, there's all that, and there's also this year.
I like the colored one.
Monochromatic.
Monochromatic. So same color vase, same color flowers.
Yeah. So there's all different kinds of categories, and you don't have to be limited to thinking about I've got to grow this, you know, this beautiful display. There's some quirky things in there too. You look in categories.
Fairy garden.
Yeah, there's a fairy garden category. There's also if you want to use the theme of the fair, which this year is going hog wild and baking memories at the Tennessee. So it's all pork themed, but that's one of our categories. If you want to make an arrangement that's pork themed, I don't know what you would do, but you go for it. And maybe a pig is involved somehow or not. But anyway, so that's, again, it's just a whole variety of creative, you know, you can just be as wacky as you want to be.
I had a question here. They are asking, is it possible to grow plantains in Tennessee? Mm. Which I guess are kind of like bananas. But I don't have a clue. Could you possibly grow that here?
Maybe. I know you probably could bring it in doors or in a greenhouse. Right. I don't know about outside in the ground. I have banana trees that come back every year, but they don't actually produce bananas. So I don't know about plantains specifically. Have you ever tried to grow those?
No,
Carol?
I haven't.
Okay. Yeah.
I do like them though.
Yeah, but maybe in a container and bring it in and out from year to year. That could be a possibility. Same thing with lemons and limes. You can do that with those since we're in zone 7, so that indicates, and you'll see that if you buy a plant, you want to make sure if you're going to put it in the ground that zone 7 is on there, that it will tolerate frost and some of those other things, like zone 9 is more tropical. That's your Florida, and they could probably grow plantain. Mm-hmm. We know they grow plantains down there.
I mean, plantains are interesting because, you know, you can cook them. There's so many things you can do with them.
Delicious. I love the, probably not good for you, but those chips.
Yeah,
plantain.
Me too.
That's my favorite.
Well, that would be an interesting thing to grow. What about other things like... when you think about tropical type settings, coconuts, you think about, you know, pineapples. Are those things that some people have tried to grow? I mean, have you run across that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pineapple. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can actually take a pineapple, cut off the top, and regrow pineapple from one you buy at the grocery store. So, again, it's an indoor thing. You don't want to leave it out in the frost, but have it inside in a warm environment, and it'll thrive.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then with the watermelons, can you just literally take those seeds out of the watermelon you eat from the store and plant those? Or do you have to, or should you buy seeds somewhere else?
I think it depends on what variety you want. So, most of us are eating seedless watermelon.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do. So that puts you to, you know, buying a seedless watermelon seed. So I recommend, if you want the watermelon you're getting, sometimes plants are hybridized, and so if you plant the seed from them, you may not get what you thought you were going to get.
That's true. I guess so. I never thought about that. So what else can we be doing this time of year to make sure our garden is going to stay nice for the remainder of that season? And are things still coming up? I mean, like cucumber, squash,
Still? Pumpkins. I was telling Carol earlier, I threw a pumpkin out last year behind the shed, and birds must have spread the seeds. I've got pumpkins growing everywhere, which is kind of fun. Volunteer pumpkins, they call them. But, yeah, everything's still growing. Tomatoes are still going well. You said you have okra and beans.
Right, and I just re-sowed cucumber, and I'm getting ready to sow lettuce and kale. Yeah. So there are things that can go up. But I think right now, too, we want to start looking at our flowers and do some seed saving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another question here, and we had this question, I think, last week or the week before, and I don't remember who was on, but I don't think they had an answer for them.
Oh.
But the question's the same, asking about cucumbers. What type of cucumber is the best type of cucumber to grow in order to pickle? So I guess to pickle, turn it into a regular old pickle.
Yeah, there's a variety of cucumbers just for pickling. But you can pickle any cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'd just be a little harder if it's like a foot long. I guess.
You could just slice it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slice cucumbers. So, but a really great resource for that, and you can go on our UT Extension website, and they do specific research on what works well here in our area. We're part of that as Master Gardeners. At times, they'll have seed trials, they call them, and the UT office out of Knoxville will send us the seeds to try in Middle Tennessee, East Tennessee, all over. There's Master Gardeners all over the state, and we evaluate, hey, did this cucumber do well? Did this, mm-hmm. you know, and what? How big did they get? So there's some specific research on what grows the best, what pickles the best, that sort of thing, all those things on their website. And I would refer that person maybe to that website to do that research, or even call out to the Extension office.
Right.
They might even have something printed out already about that specifically, because that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I love pickles, so
me too. And you know, you don't have to just pickle cucumbers. I just did squash relish last week out of yellow squash.
Ooh,
it's delicious.
I've never had pickled squash or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Is that good?
Yes. Do you like pickle relish?
I do. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is just yellow pickle relish.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
I never even heard of pickled squash. What about, can you do tomatoes as well? What would that taste like?
I don't know if you can pickle tomatoes. They're so acidic anyway that usually you can just jar them up. You know, take the skins off, jar them, mm-hmm. and can them using
sauce or something.
Yeah, or make sauce or salsa. Sauce is delicious. So lots of things to do with if you have a bumper crop of tomatoes.
Pickled okra.
Pickled
green beans. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can pickle a lot of things. That's kind of a way to keep it preserved.
You know, like with canning things, it seems like fads come and go, and canning seems to be one of those where one year it'll be really popular, then 2 years later it's not, 3 years later it's popular
again.
And
just to kind of bring it back to the state fair, there is a canning competition, and every county in the state will submit something to the state fair. It goes through the extension agent. I don't know if they've already gotten it for this fair. They probably mm-hmm. have for this year. But if people are out there that are canning and want to, you know, compete in what they've done, anything from jams, jellies, mm-hmm. relishes. They also have a honey competition. So there's all sorts of different competitions you can enter out there.
And again, our phone number here at the station, 615-893-1450. We're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back to talk more about lawns and gardens.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, two people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that, and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, Murfreesboro. This is Amanda from Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street. With the kids back at school, come to Animal City and put their science knowledge to work with a brand new aquarium. Whether you're looking for freshwater, saltwater, or pond, we have it all. While the kids are away at school, you can relax at home with your beautiful new aquarium. From Animal City, we are so proud to be Murfreesboro's pet destination for 35 years. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street. Family owned.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all your lawn and garden needs. Also, if you're looking for that great gift idea, please come see us. If you're looking for that perfect outfit or a wedding gift or baby gift, come see us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. And if you haven't heard, we also carry the rain chains. If you're looking for something to replace your old gutter or put somewhere where you can't put a gutter, come see us at the Co-op Farm and Home Center, Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, the Good Neighbor Network.
We're talking lawns and gardens this morning, and our phone number, if you want to text in any question, it is 615-893-1450. And again, we have Beth and Carol on the air with us today, both master gardeners. And you were saying off the air, the canning competition at the state fair, they don't actually open up the can and taste whatever it is that you can.
They don't. That was surprising to me when I heard about how they actually judge the canning. They just look at it. I guess they're looking for appearance and, you know, cleanliness and making sure it's neat as a pin, you know, as you're looking at it. But yeah, it's interesting how they judge different contests. And there's also, you know, when we have our flower show judges, and that happens the second night that everyone has been able to turn in their, you know, their flowers, because we want to get them while they're fresh. So if you come early in the fair, you'll see how the flowers are supposed to look. I'll tell you, by probably the second weekend, it's looking a little bit rough. We try to keep everything watered. That's part of our job is keeping up with all the flower show. But yeah, the earlier in the time you can come, that would be better. So,
and there's lots of opportunity, I guess, to buy flowers there, to buy seeds even.
I don't know if so much flower. I don't know if there's any sort of sales there. Have you seen much?
No, I don't think
so. They do have a Pick Tennessee store where they have all these products that are made in Tennessee. I don't know if there's any, like I said, flowers. Sometimes maybe there's a nursery that will sell some things. But honestly, you probably don't want to have to walk around the fair with big, large pots of plants and flowers and things like that. So, come to look, I guess, more than anything.
Have another question here. This person says they are really into wine making, even though they haven't actually made any wine at their house, but they want to grow their own grapes and try it. Any suggestions on what types of grapes, I guess, to grow?
A good segue for our grape picking harvest.
Well, we're having you can start by coming to our grape harvest on September 6th, I believe. That's a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And pick up some grapes. The only thing I've really done with grapes is juice and jellies. So I've never tried to ferment any grapes. So I can't help you on that part. But depending on whether you like a red wine or a white wine would depend on the grape that you selected. But it's probably another good place to go to the UT Hort website and check out the resources there on grape growing in Tennessee.
And that grape harvest is a lot of fun. You come out that morning, on that Saturday morning, to the Lane Agri Center, exactly where the farmers market is held as well. And we'll take you, or you can walk back to where our, the vineyard is, and you just physically get to cut the grapes off the vine and take those with you. So,
and that'd be a great place to pick someone's brain there, who are in charge of the grapes, about winemaking.
Is it that hard to grow grapes? I mean, once you get them started, do they come back fairly easily the next year?
Those grapes in that vineyard are gangbusters. Huh. I mean, they cut them pretty much to nubs last year. I know there's a lot involved in grapes in terms of pruning and, yes, you know, maintaining. Last year, the whole grape harvest was lost to drought because there wasn't a watering system there. So, you know, sometimes it just depends on the weather, too, you know.
Right. And there's a certain variety that grows here in Tennessee, and make sure that you're growing that right variety. So, yeah, just having a little bit of knowledge going in. You know, you just don't want to be frustrated. You want to make sure some people have done this research, go in and plant.
And then
the right
how many
vine.
Plants would you need, or vines that would
right.
you need?
Yeah, and you need that setup. You need that structure to hold it up.
They're trellised and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, it has been interesting over the years watching the wine industry kind of develop and grow in Tennessee, you know, because I remember several years back, and it wasn't that long ago, that we didn't have vineyards in Tennessee. Nobody would ever think of having a vineyard in Tennessee.
Right.
Now we have them, you know, just outside of Eagleville.
Right.
There's all quite over. A few everywhere, though.
I mean, it's definitely gotten more popular. We did as Master Gardeners, just kind of promote that as well. We have fun. We went to a variety of all the wineries in Tennessee for a while there. We went and talk to the people that produce the grapes, all the way to how the wine was developed. So we did field trips, and we'll do that from here, you know, time to time as Master Gardeners, and go learn. So it's a great place for someone that is a lifelong learner, someone that wants to continue to expand and grow, and you know, just a great group of people that are also interested in that.
Do we have that many tobacco farms these days? Because
I don't know.
One of the purposes of introducing, you know, hey, well, why don't you try a vineyard? Was to maybe replace some of the old tobacco farms when tobacco started to not make as much money.
Right. My husband's up, his family's up around Springfield, that area, and that's what they grew up. I know it's getting less and less. A lot of it, the tobacco that they produce was actually going to wrap cigars down in, you know, Cuba or somewhere else. They were shipping a lot. So a lot of exporting. I don't know how much they actually do to produce here now, but yeah, it's getting less and less.
Are there other fruits and vegetables that people grow less of these days versus some they grow more of?
That's a good question, too.
I think you grow what you like to eat.
It's trial and error, isn't it?
It is trial and error, because there's, I don't know, 20 varieties of green beans. And, you know, some are the traditional ones that, you know, are string beans. Remember that from when you were a kid? And they're stringless green beans now, so I think it just depends on your flavor profile, what you
and
like.
What your family will eat. I mean, you know, we've gone from having boys at home, they're all almost empty nesting now. They're going to want to go back to college. So, and if they're not home, we're not going to eat nearly as much, you know, I don't know, of everything. So I kind of break it up and don't do as many plants as I used to. So,
again, our phone number 893-1450. Again, 615-893-1450. See, this next question is asking if it's hard to grow roses.
It depends. Again, it depends on the rose. But we just talked yesterday about that rose, Rosetta, the blight that came in to specifically knock out roses. You know, you really can't get rid of that disease. You just have to dig them up and burn them almost. But it really depends on the rose and what variety. They're beautiful. I do some roses, but again, the thorns. I'm like, I want something that's not going to hurt me when I'm having to pick it too. But they are a beautiful plant, and you should definitely have some in your landscape if you love them.
And there's more and more varieties that are being developed to offset some of these diseases. And another good place to look for rose varieties would be on UT Hort, because they've tested them all. So you don't start with something that might fail. You start with something that's going to have a good chance to survive.
Yeah. Here's another question asking. It says, I don't really have any neighbors where I live, but I do grow a lot of vegetables. Can I put some in the freezer to use later? And if so, how long will they stay good if I do put them in the freezer?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. You can freeze. Gosh, well, one that comes to mind all the time is squash and mm-hmm. green beans. You just chop them up, put them in a freezer bag. Mm-hmm. I've kept... for years. literally years before I've cooked some of those things that have been frozen. So, mm-hmm. Again, you probably want to check that out and make sure they're being properly right. stored.
I know some things you blanch before you freeze them. Like mm-hmm. My mom, we love field peas in my family, purple eye, purple hulls. And so we save those to eat throughout the winter time. And those are blanched and then just frozen solid, you know, in a quart bag or whatever you think will feed your family. And they last at least through the year. And, you know, the longer they're in there, the more texture problems you'll notice mm-hmm. when you unfreeze them.
Mm-hmm. Here's another question. This ask, it says, I really enjoy dried apples. Can you or have you ever done dried apples before?
Oh, my. One of the reasons I like gardening is I remember my grandmother drying her apples on the hood of the car.
She didn't have a dehydrator. Huh?
She didn't have a dehydrator in those days. And those apples were delicious, and they lasted forever. And they would put them in a big glass pickle jar with a top on it, just load it full.
Neat.
And you can store those, and this is telling on my mother, who has dried apples from 15 years ago that she's still making apple pies with once they're rehydrated. So sure, you can dehydrate them in your oven. Look online and figure out what the temperature is and prep those apples and dry them, and yeah, you'll have them to eat or rehydrate for all kinds of things.
Is that very hard to do? I mean, if you don't have a dehydrator and you use the oven to do it, is it that hard to do?
No, it's not hard to do. You can also do you can make sun-dried tomatoes that way as well, mm-hmm. which are delicious. And so not hard to do. With apples, there's the prep. Again, all of these things that you can or freeze, or there's prep involved. So you just have to take that into account with the wonderful outcome that you're going to get.
And I guess if you do apples, you could add, what, cinnamon to it? Things,
ooh, yeah.
Things
you
like
could,
that?
But I don't think none of them ever did any of and they didn't add anything. So you do that when you rehydrate.
Okay. And I would assume you could even buy fruit at the grocery store if you wanted to
sure.
try your right. hand at it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of things you can do, it sounds like.
Sure, absolutely. But you could dehydrate most things.
And then with the canning, how long do things stay good after you can them?
I think I read, gosh, don't quote me on this. Well, okay.
Transcribed.
I think I just read up to 7 years.
That's a pretty good while then.
Yeah,
but I would hope that you would eat them.
Yeah.
If they lose their seal, they go in the garbage.
Right.
You open it, it doesn't look right or smell right, it goes in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But tomatoes, for example, are very acidic, so their shelf life is a pretty long time.
A lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when you actually are canning, is the goal not to have any air in there whatsoever? Or what is the goal?
No, you leave headspace, so mm-hmm. there is a little air in there. Basically...
The seal is the most important.
Yeah, you have to have this vacuum seal, and when you buy canning jars, they come with a special lid that actually does a vacuum seal in the canning process. So you, have a slow, steady boil on your jars for anything acidic, like 15 minutes. And when you take them out to cool, you'll start hearing these pop, 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 pop. And that's the lids are actually sealing, and so you know that they are safe to eat. And if something doesn't seal, you eat it right away.
Well, try to fit in just a couple more questions. We don't have a lot of time left. But this one says, when I was growing up, my neighbor used to make plum jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that is fairly easy to make? And how hard is it to grow plums in Tennessee?
Okay, I can answer that because we just did this. Dad and I and my mother, they had a whole row of plum trees that were very prolific. So, they have them just right out there in front of their house. Let's say they've been in that house 15 years. He probably planted them. You know, anyway, they maybe not every year that prolific, but last, or a couple years ago, they were really good. So we chopped them up and pureed them up and made plum jelly and sealed a bunch up, gave some for Christmas, and still have some. I think maybe ate our last jar a few months ago. So yeah, we are very, you can grow plums here in Tennessee. What I wouldn't recommend, well, it's really hard to grow here in Tennessee, or we've never had luck with, our peaches. Can't really grow peaches here.
Peaches need a lot of
love.
Help.
And then certain variety of apples. Fraser apple is a good one for here in Tennessee. But again, look at different varieties. Mm-hmm. I just heard yesterday, really in Tennessee, we can't grow any of those apples very well that you've heard of, like Fuji and Gala.
Cosmic.
Yeah, you can't really grow those here in Tennessee. So look for the ones that are specifically for this area. Again, you just don't want to go out and frustrate yourself and spend a lot of money buying trees and fruit trees, especially that take years to produce and then
are going to be
never...
more work than you want.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess buying those fruit trees, that's where it would start to get very expensive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you need room for those too, and they're gonna take up a big space in your yard if they grow well, which is great, but it also would limit you if you have a small yard. So
another question here real quick is asking about carrots. Is it hard to grow carrots in Tennessee, and is this too late to plant them right now?
No, you can plant carrots right now. The thing about carrots is they need some room to expand. So there's a technique called double digging, where you can actually sort of, as you put your carrot seed in the ground, you just make sure that the soil is well broken up underneath it, so that the carrot has some room to grow. But yes, carrot can't be planted right now.
And then what about things like asparagus? Is that fairly easy to grow in this area?
Oh, I know about asparagus.
You go.
I've always thought asparagus is sort of the pinnacle of gardening, because it takes 3 to 5 years to get the asparagus bed going, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit more work, and you've got to have a space where it can spread, and then of course they come up around Easter time. They're an early crop, so by this time everything, you want to cut everything back by this time. But asparagus is a little more involved, so just be aware of that if you're wanting to grow asparagus.
And we'll fit this last question in, is asking if they can grow artichoke here in Middle Tennessee.
Wow, that one I don't know.
I have not tried. Have you tried?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Can't help you on that one. So sorry.
Sorry about that.
We don't know everything.
Again, anything can be grown in a container if it's, if it's a warm weather crop, and you can look at that. So, I haven't tried. But maybe that's an inspiration for us, Carol.
Yeah,
we're
sure.
Get out
right.
There try
I just
to...
had some roasted artichoke the other day. It was
wonderful.
So good.
Yes, yes.
And as we close this morning, again, the Tennessee State Fair, there's the big event coming up. When is that again going to be?
It is August 14th through 23rd. During the weekend, they're open all day. And during the week, they open at 4 p.m. And I just saw under the category, too, under fruits and vegetables, there's a category of ugliest vegetables. So if you're looking out of your yard this morning, and there's a really ugly vegetable, hold on to it. Bring it next week. Submit it. And especially your flowers, come see us at the flower show.
And again, this is at the Wilson County Fairground is where the state fair is going to be.
Lebanon, Tennessee. Yes.
And that's a big event. There's lots of parking there.
Yes, and they recommend taking the shuttle from Cumberland University if you can, because it's a lot faster sometimes than just parking and going in. But yeah, come on out. It's a great event. It's just so wholesome and just a great way to see. Yeah, it's all different variety of things, from animals to shows to music to,
right,
of course, all the fair food and the rides, and something for everyone.
Now, is there a cost to get in? I don't remember. It's been a while since I've been there.
Yes, it is, and they have tickets. It's available online through Wilson County Bank as well, depending on if you want to ride rides or just come into the fair, or you can do a season pass where you can come multiple days to the fair. It's all very reasonable, depending on how many days you want to come.
And the carnival-style food, all healthy. Everything is
absolutely
extremely good for you.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. And once more, the Lane Agri Park, that is where the Farmers Market is held every Tuesday and Friday morning, yes. 7 a.m. I think to 1.
Yes.
So tomorrow, actually.
Yes, tomorrow. Come out.
Sounds good. Well, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Time right now, 8:59. We're just 30 seconds away from the 9 o'clock hour. Stay with us because we do have local news coming your way next.